by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are, and then it says that we were created. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand, and that we should walk in them. Another passage of scripture in Colossians says, whatever you do, do it in word or deed, and do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, and give thanks to the Father through him. And this morning, our text will be John 15, and in that passage, Jesus tells the disciples, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruits, and that your fruit should abide in me. And so, all throughout Scripture, whether it's the first words that God said to mankind, or the last words before he returns to earth and he gives us a mission, he wants our lives to be of fruits. He wants our lives to be multiplying, productive. You get that sense that we are created as his workmanship, created for good works. And so this morning, we're going to talk about this idea of being fruitful. In a phrase, we're going to talk about spiritual growth. We've been looking at the past few weeks, values for, what is it, for a Christian, for a believer, and values, core values for our church. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the core value of knowing God, and we're using the acronym GOSPEL to make these values, and G is God. Everything starts and ends with God, that knowing God is the grand total of our lives, know him in relationship. Another core value is others, to love others. We talked about that last week, about loving one another and caring for one another. We care about all kinds of hurt and suffering in this world. Physical needs, we care about that. But greatly, we also care about eternal suffering. We care about the souls of mankind. So our heartbeat is to love others. It's other-oriented. Today we're going to look at the gospel value of spiritual growth. Before we do, I want to share with you a little video that talks about spiritual growth. And it kind of captures where many of us are for spiritual growth today. So watch this video.
Good morning. Good morning, Master. Good morning, Johanna. Good morning,
good morning,
Johnny.
People are always asking me why. Why do the same thing every year? Why not move on? And I say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Present.
I'm comfortable. I know the routine.
United States of America.
And to the
Republic.
I don't want to brag, but I'm pretty popular around here. I do really well in sports. I'm just very successful here. Why would I go and mess that up by graduating? I mean, in the first grade, I may not know all the answers. The hours are longer. I hear they don't even have nap time. I mean, I just don't see the upside. Then first grade meets the second grade, second to third. Then you're in high school reading boring books with no pictures.
3, 4, 5.
But he was still hungry.
Next thing you know, people expect you to get a job and give up summer vacation. No, sir. I think I found my niche. Thank you very much. Home sweet kindergarten. Besides, I mean, what if I failed first grade? How humiliating would that be? No, just don't think I can handle that kind of embarrassment.
That was not a good choice. Very disappointed.
Is your faith still kidding me? It's a tough question sometimes, you know? And Our lives are meant for growth. Our lives are meant for multiplication. Our lives are meant for bearing fruits. God said, Jesus said, that we are appointed. He chose us to bear fruits. And I want to look at that passage today in John 15. So I encourage you to grab your Bibles and read along with me in Scripture, the Gospel of John. And John 15, we'll look at several verses this morning and talk a little bit about Jesus' encouragement for us for growing spiritually and how that's done. John 15, and in John's Gospel, which we will be looking at in depth over the next several weeks, we're kind of going to do a few chapters towards the end of John's Gospel, look at 15 and kind of the end chapters through chapters 21 for a couple weeks, but then we're going to come back and get the full Gospel, start with chapter 1, and so we're going to be in John's Gospel for several weeks on Sunday mornings, but in John's Gospel, there are seven times where Jesus gives these I am statements, these I ams, like I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the gate, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This passage here, John 15, is the last I am statement that Jesus gives. And he says, I am the true vine. So read with me today about Jesus being this vine and what that means for us in relationship to spiritual growth. John 15, read with me, starting with verse 1. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. For the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and have abided in his love. And these things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Verse 16, 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whenever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And these things I command you, that you will love one another. This morning in this passage, you get a clear sense that Jesus wants his disciples to bear fruit. And how that is done is to abide in him. He tells us that he is the true vine. It's the last of these I am statements. And in this, the context of this passage is in John 14 and 15 and 16 and even into 17, Jesus knows that the hour has come. Jesus knows that it is getting near that he will be crucified on a cross and die. And so he knows he only has a few short moments with his disciples. They call these passages here in chapters 14, 15, 16, Jesus' farewell teachings. It's he's saying farewell, his last words to his disciples, his last time to really hone in on discipleship and what it means to follow him and how they are going to take his mission onward into life and to spread the message of the gospel. And so in John 15, this is a powerful, powerful passage, and he tells the disciples that the whole purpose for discipleship is to stay connected to the vine. And so, let me make a few comments today about spiritual growth and how that really plays out for us as believers, but also for us as a church body, that we value spiritual growth for our members. One is a comment that I want to make is this, and it's really, really important. And the first one is that spiritual growth is not salvation. Spiritual growth is not salvation. When we come to understand that Jesus is talking about that he's the vine, and he wants that we are the branches, and the branches are to stay connected to the vine. I want you to look what he says to the disciples in verse 3. In verse 3, he tells them that, you know, he's the vine, that they're branches, and that he prunes these branches. But verse 3, he says, already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. He's talking to those who are already believers, those who understand his identity, that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Son of God, he's God in the flesh, and that his mission is to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. He's talking to disciples here. He's not talking to unbelievers. And he says, you disciples, you are already clean. It means they're pure, they're spotless, they're without blemish. Now certainly we know by reading the Gospels that he's not really saying that they're perfect people, because over and over and over we see the disciples are just a bunch of bumbling fools. I mean, you know, Peter's constantly putting his foot in his mouth, speaking up and saying the wrong thing. They're arguing with one another, who's the greatest? And Jesus says, you're just a bunch of knuckleheads, you know, just cut it out. You know, he's constantly correcting them throughout the gospel. So, you know, it's not the idea that they're perfect in and of themselves here, but he says, you are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Over and over and over, John is talking about the Word. And who do we know is the Word? Jesus is the Word. Read John 1, and we understand that John is saying that Jesus is the Word. And so it's the faith in him, faith in Jesus, faith in the Word, and reception of that Word is what makes these disciples clean. And so they're clean. They have salvation. And that's clear from the start. But salvation and spiritual growth are two separate things, but they're not to be completely separated. They're kind of like two sides of the same coin, okay? And so it's important for us, as we're talking about spiritual growth, that we make clear the difference, the distinction between spiritual growth and salvation. He tells these disciples that they're clean. Let me share with you a couple theological terms, and I know some of you are like, oh, here we go, here's the preacher talk, okay? Well, these theological terms are good for us, okay? We don't have to just say the words and then never really define them and just make ourselves look good because we have a bunch of head knowledge. That's not going to be helpful, but let's dig in a little bit. Let's dig in, grow a little spiritually here, make our faith go to the next grade, the next level here, and understand some what it means to be a follower of Jesus. A couple of theological terms. Number one is justification. Justification, okay? That word means that that's how we get salvation. That word means that God thinks of our sins and considers our sins forgiven, and that our sins are declared righteous in his sight. And so it's a legal term where God speaks and declares over us, and he says, you are justified. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are declared, the slate is clean, and I'm declaring over you, you're free to go. You're free to go from your sentence of your punishment, which is death. You are declared righteous. That's justification. That's the entry into the kingdom of God. That's the entry into salvation, is justification, okay? A second term is sanctification. Sanctification. And that word, sanctification, is the idea of spiritual growth. You see, justification is immediate. Justification is immediate. It's complete. But sanctification is a process. It happens over time. And it's our cooperation with God's declaration of his justification. You with me? So God has declared us justified. We are not Christians because of something that we do, not our works, not your church attendance here on Sunday morning, not your tithe into the offering plate gets you salvation. Not your good works, not anything, not prayer, not reading the Bible. That doesn't get you salvation. What gets you salvation is not what you do, but it's your reception of what Christ has already done for you in the gospel, in his death, in his righteous life that he lived, and in his death that he completed for us, and then in his resurrection, which he invites us to trust in him and to walk with him. That's justification. We're declared righteous because of our faith in Christ. And our response to that also is our sanctification. It's how we grow in that. Okay, so justification, sanctification, there's a distinction in there, but they are not to be separated. If you are justified, if you have salvation in Christ, that will lead to sanctification. If you have salvation, that will lead to spiritual growth, in other words. We are not to have our faith and have it stay in one place and be completely complacent in kindergarten, okay? And many of you were laughing at that video, but we look at our lives sometimes and we think, well, what's wrong with that, you know? And sometimes we need to make the connection. So justification is going to lead to sanctification. We should be constantly growing spiritually. And there's different areas of that, sure, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today, but all in all, is the call is to grow in that salvation today. It's kind of like chocolate by itself. It's a really, really good thing. Ladies, can I have you come here? Okay. All right. Chocolate is a really good thing, okay? And there's, you know, dark chocolate, there's milk chocolate, there's, you know, vanilla chocolate, there's all kinds of chocolate. By itself, chocolate is a really, really good thing. But you add to chocolate peanut butter. Man, that just hits home. That just hits home for me. Okay? Some of you just, you don't have a good palate. You don't have a good taste bud, right? I'm here to tell you, to testify today, that chocolate and peanut butter is just out of this world. That's great, alright? Justification, sanctification. You just have justification by itself. It's a good thing, but it's not the best of both worlds. And so justification is going to lead to sanctification. You gotta have both, okay? Just like you have to have chocolate and peanut butter, alright? Some of you are shaking your heads, you're just not looking. God forbid it. So when you think about this, a couple things before I get to my next point is this. Is that to remember that our salvation, it comes free. It's not something that we do to earn it. Jesus is saying that we are to abide in him, that he is the true vine. So our connection to the vine, as we are branches, our connection to the vine, he's the source of life. He's the fuel for everything and for knowing God. And so it all revolves around Jesus. And so it's our spiritual growth is not to get mixed up with our salvation. It all starts at salvation, but salvation will lead to spiritual growth. Jesus said, let me point something out here. Look at verse 6. Verse 5 and 6, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But look at verse 6. This is very important. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Some people will look at this passage here and they'll say, okay, Pastor Dave, you're talking about these theological terms. You're talking about spiritual growth. You're talking about salvation. And what I see here is I see Jesus talking about these people being clean. They have salvation. But the next thing you know, Jesus wants to talk about cutting off branches and gathering up and throwing these branches into the fire. So what does that mean? Does that mean I have to try to keep and earn salvation over and over and over? Do I have to constantly fear that God all of a sudden just got to cut me off and throw me into the fire of hell? Pastor Dave, come on, where are we going here? Does this mean I could lose my salvation, in other words?
That's right.
He's not talking about that. Your salvation, and to understand spiritual growth, you have to get a full grasp of salvation. We will never grow spiritually we are not secure in our salvation. And so it's so important by beginning our talk about spiritual growth on salvation. It's so important that we get and understand the fullness of what God has done for us in Christ in salvation. He's saying here, if you don't abide in me, in other words, if you have no connection to salvation, if you are not connected to the vine, if you do not abide in me, then you are thrown away and gathered and thrown away into the fire as those branches. And so, John, over and over, he talks about this. Those who have the Son have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And so it's clear for us that if you have salvation, it's not something that you earn. And guess what else? It's not something that you can keep. And so if you have salvation, if you've received Jesus Christ, his death on the cross for you, you are in the palm of his hand and nobody can take you out of it. You have that great security in Christ for salvation. And when you understand the fullness of that, and trust me, it takes a lifetime to understand the fullness of it. But when you understand and begin to grasp how much God loves you and how much security that he's provided you in salvation, spiritual growth is just a natural process. And I fear that many of us across all churches all throughout America is we don't have that understanding of salvation, and that is why we don't grow spiritually. That's why our faith is stuck in kindergarten, because we don't have a grasp on the gospel in salvation. And so it's vital for us to understand the security that we have in salvation. And once we do, that will naturally result in the sanctification process and spiritual growth for us today. Okay? I could say a lot more. I need to move quickly. Spiritual growth is not salvation. My next point is this, is that spiritual growth is surrendered living. Spiritual growth is surrendered living. 11 times in this passage, at least 11 times, perhaps more, 11 times in this passage, Jesus uses the word abide. Abide. And the word implies to progressively remain in that thing, to continue, to remain in that thing. Jesus is calling us to continually remain and follow and trust and stay in, stay connected to him. And so if we are to grow spiritually, it starts by staying connected to him. And this idea of abiding in him is really about surrendered living, surrendered living. In the previous chapter, previous chapters, in chapter 12, John says this, or Jesus says this in John's Gospel, John 12. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And then he says this, whoever loves his life and loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it into eternal life. And so surrendered living, abiding in Jesus, looks like this. Is that God is seeking people who are surrendered to him. He's seeking disciples who hate life in this world, who are not settling for fool's gold in this world, the values of this world, worldly system, but they are loving and longing for eternity. They see God as the greatest treasure in all of life, that to live is Christ and to die is gain. That surrender and submission to Christ in this world and to his values and abiding in Christ is not second-class living, but that is true living. That's reality. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I mean, think about that. That we could pray and know that God is hearing our prayers and will constantly answer our prayers in the affirmative. That's amazing. And it starts by us abiding in him and his words abide in us. Now the trick is that we are abiding in Christ and our living is surrendered to him and understanding all of eternity. We're not going to be asking for things like Mercedes-Benz and horses all the time. And, you know, he meets our needs and he will give us fulfillment. 15:11, John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We have fullness of joy when we are matched with the God's joy. Our joy happens when we are giving God joy. And so it behooves us to understand what gives God joy. You are my friends if you obey my commandments. And so surrendered, abiding, living is about bringing God joy, and in that we in return find joy. And it's this idea that if we could stay connected to the vine, that will be a natural result is that we will bear fruit. A couple observations that I have about fruit is that I've never seen invisible fruit. Fruit is visible. And so when we talk about spiritual growth, we talk about abiding in Jesus, we talk about bearing fruit for the Lord, multiplying, producing fruit, this idea, that this analogy that Jesus uses for spiritual growth, it's not invisible. And so there are identifiers. There are identifiers that would seem to point to the fact that we have salvation. In other words, we can't just give God lip service on Sunday morning and then have our lives be have a complete contrast to God and His values and what brings Him joy, because that would be trying to think that we have invisible fruit. And so fruit is visible. Another thing is that fruit is made to be consumed. Fruit is made for others to eat and to enjoy it. And that's what fruit is made for. Fruit, it's nice to have on your dinner table as a centerpiece, but it's made for us to eat and enjoy. And very much the same so for us spiritually. Our fruit that we have in our spiritual life, that we bear for the Lord Jesus, it's meant for others to enjoy, to consume. But the problem is that many of us, we, in contemporary Christianity today, we enter into the church world and we want to be the consumers ourselves. We look to take in the church. We consume all the programs. We consume all the Bible studies, and it's only about us so often. And Jesus says that if we have received salvation, if we are connected to the vine, we're going to be bearing fruit for others to enjoy. And so there's a reversal there that I'm not sure that we completely get sometimes. That for Christians, for believers, for followers of Jesus, that who are members of our church, there is a reception. There is something that we receive in Christianity and follow Jesus, but it's for the purpose of, as Ephesians 2 would say, to be God's workmanship for good works. John 15 would say it's to bear fruit for others, and fruit is meant for others to enjoy. So our spiritual fruit that we have, it's visible. There's going to be some identifiers in our life that others can say, you know, I think that person is a follower of God. I think that person has salvation. Other people are going to consume and enjoy this fruit. And also, thirdly, is that there's various kinds of fruits. I mean, there's strawberries, there's bananas, there's apples, there's grapes, there's peaches, there's pears. There is all kinds of fruits. And our spiritual fruit is much the same. There's all kinds of ways to bear fruit, to bring glory to the Lord. And God wants all kinds of fruit. God wants us to have these things as part of our life. And so what does that look like for us? What does that look like for us today? Let me just give you a few categories and share with you a few thoughts here and round this talk out on spiritual growth. One is this, this idea of abiding, he says that it's very relational. It's for to abide in Him and to have His words abide in us. And so, are you abiding? Are we abiding through fellowship and loving others? He talks over and over. He says that you're going to bear fruit and it's going to result in you loving one another. So are you abiding through fellowship and loving others? We talked a lot about that last week. Are you abiding through using your time, your talents, and your treasures for the glory of the Lord? Are you abiding through serving Him? On Wednesday nights, in a couple weeks, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, how to recognize your spiritual gift. how to recognize your natural talents, and to be able to make those two connections and your passions and your interests and how God has wired you in your heart of hearts, and how to use that to serve God in the church and through the church, but also in life. And I want to encourage you to take part in that, to discover how you are wired to serve God. Are you abiding through giving of your time and your treasure? Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also." And so this idea of abiding, it starts with our hearts. It starts with our hearts captured by the identity of who Jesus is, that He is the true vine. And that's salvation. But it's gonna flow out into so many different areas, which the Bible would call fruit bearing. I want to encourage you to do a study of that word, of fruit bearing, of bearing fruit for God. And you will find amazing things. You'll find character qualities in Galatians 5 that talk about fruit for the Lord. You'll see many other various kinds of fruit all throughout Scripture. This idea of being our lives multiplying and producing and making disciples for God. And so ultimately, it talks about abiding. One last thing is that Jesus said that in this idea of abiding, there are times where the Father has to prune back the branches in order that more fruit can be produced. You see, God seeks lots and lots of fruit in our lives. And it's a result of us staying connected to the vine. But there are times where He has to prune us. There are times where He has to purge or cleanse us. When He says that He has to prune us, in verse 2, it says He does this so that he prunes us so that we can bear more fruit. That same word for pruning is the same word that Jesus used in verse 3 to say that the disciples are clean. One is just a statement of fact, and two is the verb of what God is doing in our life. So it's the same word of being clean, but the latter one, this idea of pruning, it's what God is constantly doing in our life. And that's what sanctification is. It's cooperating with God's work and operation in our life. And so it's a mutual process of God working in our life and us being responsive to that. And that's how we grow spiritually. So there are times that God prunes us. Hebrews 12 says this, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the ones He loves, and He chastises every son whom He receives." You see, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? In other words, discipline is a natural result of a relationship between a father who loves a son. If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children, and you're not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who have disciplined us, and we respect them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of the spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But He, God, disciplines for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. That Hebrews 12 passage is talking about God's discipline in our lives. It's the same language or the same concept that Jesus is saying here in John 15, that He prunes us. You see, God's ultimate joy is that we bear fruit. What brings Him ultimate joy is that we bear fruit. But sometimes fruit bearing, to bear more fruit for the kingdom of God and in our lives, it's hardship that we have to go through. That He'll prune and purge some things out of our Corrie Ten Boom was a dear saint. During Nazi Germany times, she held a lot of Jews and let them hide in her house and her family, kind of secured and protected many Jews during Nazi Germany. She was a dear saint. Her walk with the Lord was really encouraging and inspiring in many ways. And she has a quote that's from one of her books. And she said this, and it kind of goes along this theme of God disciplining and pruning us in our lives. She said this, "I've learned to hold everything loosely because it hurts when God pries my fingers apart and he takes them from me." See, this world is fleeting. And so it starts with recognizing that God is the greatest treasure. And so we hold things in this world loosely. And we stay connected to the vine. And we love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And so that's what it means to value spiritual growth. That it starts at salvation, but it leads to spiritual growth when we stay connected to the vine. And it's a natural result when we stay connected to the vine and we're walking with him, that we hold the things of this world loosely, and we see in light of eternity what brings God joy. And those are the things that we invest our lives in. And that is spiritual growth. So much more can be said. Again, I want to promote and I want to encourage you on Wednesday nights. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the fuel source for our spiritual growth. We're revealing and discussing how to grow spiritually, how to put feet to our faith. I want to encourage you to take part in that. There's one friend of mine, one of our church members, who has been taking part on our Wednesday night studies. And this person also has just been working through a lot of hardship in their life. And they wrote something to me, and I have their permission to share it with you. And I thought it would fit today's theme of spiritual growth. The person says this, "I've been struggling for a long time with a cold heart, maybe a desensitized heart is a better way to think of it, towards God and His Spirit. I think for so long I've been justifying my personal decisions that made, and that eventually I've stopped hearing the Spirit and His guidance in most of my situations. I've also been struggling with the question of, how do I get to know you better, God? Why don't you make yourself known to me, God? How do I see you with the eyes of my heart? And in reality, I was looking for God to do all the work in mine and his relationship. And what I've really come to realize is this. Obviously, relationships aren't a one-way street. Why should I expect my relationship with God to be likewise? I struggled with studying the Bible and this idea of meditation, and I think mainly because I didn't really understand the Bible or the idea of meditation. But every time I am at Traverna Park Baptist Church, God confirms to me this is where I am supposed to be. I am being drawn to Him more and more. I'm starting to be motivated to really get to know God and not just have all the right answers, not to just have head knowledge, because of growing up in such a heavy Christian influence, but to really know who God is in my life, and to know who I am, to know Him. And I want to fill my heart with His love, and to be secure in Him. This person gets it. This person understands that life is fullness is in Jesus Christ, that He is the true vine, and to be secure in Him, to know Him, man, that's bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus. So, I'm going to end today's service to say, will you join this dear person? Will you join with this church to grow spiritually, to stay connected to the vine? That's what we want to be about. We're talking about these values, these core values of who we are. We want this to say, this is who we are. We value the spiritual growth. We value staying connected to the vine and not just it resulted in just being a museum of saints who just are to be looked at, but to be a place where we are broken sinners, but we're healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. healthy, and to give hope to others. That's what we want to be as a place of values. So will you join that dear person? Commit your heart and your life, your the focus of your life towards spiritual growth, towards knowing Jesus. And I know and trust you what you do. I want to pray and for us to commit ourselves towards that end. Our worship team is going to come and just respond to them. God, thank you for this time of engagement with your word. And I just pray, God, that in a small way, God, what I've said, that you'll use it in a greater way, and that you'll increase your word in each of our hearts this morning to really stay connected to you as the vine, to realize, God, that apart from you, we can do nothing. But God, that you demand and command us to bear fruit, and it only happens by staying connected to the vine. So help us to realize that. Help us, God, to have our hearts and minds just sprinkled with the gospel, God, and that we would just love you and respond, God, in a way that would please you and bring you joy. Help, God, the ones this morning that need to make that decision in their life, to make that decision. Let it.